This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is Johnny Gould's Jewish State.
They poisoned 1,000 girls with gas around the schools in Iran. How do you explain this? This does not look like a regime that's willing to go away without killing people, without leaving bodies behind.
Today's guest, reminding us of the brutality of Iran's mullahs and the cruelty of their regime. There are a few Jewish people who think all's cool for Jews in the Middle East, beyond Israel, even in places where there aren't even any Jews left.
There is very similar hate, though, before Zionism. 1497 in Portugal, 1492 in Spain, the 11th century in England, in York and Norwich and Lincoln. That's not Zionism. That's the same hate through the years.
This may sometimes happen something, but there was really peace. Look now in Iran, Iraq, Yemen. People, Jewish people are living in peace there with no problem.
The Jews left.
Was asking for it. Nature Carter telling me that Jews live in peace in, among other countries, Iraq and Yemen. Absolute ideological fantasists. So what's it really like in Iran? There are Jews who still live in Iran's major cities, Tehran and Isfahan, but the community has declined sharply since the Islamist revolution, which shapes the world today. So let's travel into the archive of Johnny Gould's Jewish State for an interview conducted in the weeks just before October the 7th. Let's discuss Iran with someone who really knows it. Recorded in Israel during the heady late summer days of weekly judicial reform rallies, this is Dr. Mayer Javandanfar.
The regime today is cruel. It's unpopular, it's hated, but it's cruel. These are cruel people. Judge a man by his friend. Who are the friends of Ayatollah Khamenei, Bashar al-Assad and Putin? And we know what they've done to their own public. So the cruelty that they're willing to apply against dissidents in Iran makes me believe that, unfortunately, and I hope to God I'm wrong, that this is a regime that's not for you.
He was born in Tehran to a family from the city of Isfahan. 8 months after his bar mitzvah in 1987, Mayer and his family moved to the UK as Jewish refugees from Iran. But detecting an anti-Semitism about his Iranian Jewish background in Britain, he moved to Israel in 2004, not just because he's a committed Zionist Jew, but that he says Israelis get his Mizrahiness more than they do in the UK. And yet, he remains a committed Anglophile. He never quite left the English sense of humour behind. Listen out for a Basil Fawlty joke, and he describes Britain as a big part of his being. He's grateful for the UK giving him sanctuary. And whatever the status of the JCPOA in the wake of Iran's first ever direct assault on Israel, he told me he supported it when we spoke. And he said Israeli military experts in the know do too. Why? and he took part in the Iranian Revolution in 1979. Yes, really. Seven Jews were killed, and the Persian Jewish population collapsed from 100,000 under the Shah to where it is today, a paltry and declining 7,000. So why was there a revolution in 1979 in the first place? The mullahs are wary of their own people, scared of American soft power led by the threat of feminism. And just so you know, he's also a subscriber to the British comic Viz. So I adopted my best Roger Melly, the man on the telly pose, to get the very best out of him. This really is a fascinating interview which deserves the light of day its own episode. Recorded in Tel Aviv in late summer 2023, this is Dr. Meir Javandanfar.
Welcome to Johnny Gould's Jewish State.
Thank you, John.
And it turns out you're quite the Anglophile.
Oh, yes. Of course, I'm British also. In 1987, I entered Britain as a Jewish asylum seeker, and I lived in England till 2004. England is a very important part of my being, and I'll be forever grateful to the government and the people of the United Kingdom for giving me refuge and for accepting me.
Now, your background is a Persian Jew, and that means that you and your family lived in comparative peace, or continuity at least, for thousands of years.
Correct. Until from the second Babylonian exile, when the king of Persia released the Jews, some of them came back to Israel immediately. Some of them came to Persia, and then from there they went back to the state of Israel, and they brought some of the concepts they learned. For example, in Judaism, there was no Messiah, Mashiach, until the Jews returned from Persia, because they learned from the Zoroastrians, after having lived in, that there's a concept of Moshiach, somebody's going to come back one day. So from there, we have a concept of the Messiah. It was, yes, very, very, very proud heritage. We've had our difficult periods in Iran, when the country in the 19th century was, the clerics had a strong role in Iranian society. The Jews really suffered. But nevertheless, we're very proud of being Iranian Jews.
And there are still Iranian Jews.
7,000 Jews in Iran. From the 1979 revolution, there were seven Jews who were killed, executed after the revolution. And so there was a huge exodus of Iranian Jews. The population dropped from 100,000 approximately in 1979 to 25,000, which is when we left and moved to the UK. Now there are 7,000 Jews in Iran. Until 1995, it was difficult for Jews to leave Iran. After that, they could do as they wish. They could stay, they could go, they could take their wealth with them. And as long as they don't have anything to do with the regime, they're okay. As long as they don't...
And that goes on today.
Yes, sir. As long as they don't say anything about Israel, you know, it's a little bit like the Fawlty Towers episode. Don't say anything about the war. Don't say anything about Israel, and you're fine. Don't say anything positive about Israel.
So 7,000 Tehrani Jews.
No, Isfahan also.
Isfahan.
Also in Shiraz. This is an approximate number. It's not an exact number.
It's known as a community with roots, some wealth. They can go and live anywhere they want. LA, yeah. London, yes. Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv.
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow.
Yes. They don't say to the regime, I'm going to live. Actually, no, they cannot live in, move to America anymore, because Trump closed down the refugee center in Vienna, which was processing the application of Iranian Jews and Baha'is. And it hasn't been reopened. For many years, many people, including my own family, moved from Iran to Vienna. There was a refugee center there run by Hayaz, the Hebrew International Aid Society. Well, the case of Iranian Jewish refugees was examined for 6 months, and then they were passed on. That's been closed now. So the only place they can go to is Israel.
And London?
If the British government accepts them, yes, of course. Of course.
The relationship in cultural terms between Iran is more Francophone than British, isn't it?
Not anymore.
Has that disappeared?
That's the old generation.
Right.
Iranians are huge, huge fans of American culture. Huge fans of American culture, which scares the regime, because the regime believes that American ideas such as democracy, human rights, and the scariest idea from America, women's rights, could encourage the people of Iran to rise up against the regime. So, but America has tremendous cultural pull in Iran. Tremendous.
So how long have you lived in Israel?
2004 when I made Aliyah.
You made Aliyah, and that was for ideological reasons?
Yes. My parents were living here. England's a wonderful country, but as a Zionist Jew and as an Iranian, I find it much easier here. In England, if you say Iranian, they think, you know, Middle East. Here, they know Iranians. They know Iranian culture because in the Bible, because we're... So as an Iranian, it's much easier here. But of course, as a Zionist Jew, I was very angry, by the way, that unfortunately, in intellectual circles in England in 2004, the idea of a Jewish state in Zionism was viewed so negatively, and that used to really make me angry. And so as a Zionist, it's much easier here.
Now, can I talk to you about perhaps the most standout policy that you agree with here, which you need to explain to our listeners, many of whom will need to understand this. Explain to our audience here on Johnny Gould's Jewish State why you support the JCPOA.
First of all, because I think the idea that Iran would give up its nuclear program is a non-starter. There's so much of the regime's legitimacy that's tied up to this nuclear program that the regime cannot give it up completely. You know, you could say, okay, but the Assad regime and the Iraqi regime, they were destroyed and the nuclear program was destroyed. Well, it's because they kept it secret. The regime did not tie so much of its legitimacy to this nuclear program. So enrichment in Iran will have to continue if we want to reach a deal. And the deal allowed it enrichment to continue in Iran under strict supervision. Iran is the most inspected country in the world. I repeat, the most inspected country in the world. There was because of the JCPOA. When Trump walked out of the nuclear deal, that weakened our inspection. So we knew at what percentage Iran was enriching, at what time it was going to increase its enrichment, how many years. We knew it was inspected. Iran was the most inspected country. The Iranian nuclear program was within a framework.
Okay, but then, they must have concealed quite a bit as well. A lot of it's underground.
Until now, no intelligence agency in the world has said that Iran... I mean, until Trump walked out of the nuclear deal, that Iran did anything untowards, did anything to break the nuclear deal. And this includes the 500 kilograms worth of documents and CDs which Mossad smuggled out of Iran.
In which case, if the framework is the way forward to control Iran, why is Israel, whose existence relies upon the threat of a nuclear Iran, the idea that, God forbid, Israel could sustain an attack from Iran in the future, maybe not now, but in the future, why are they so against the JCPOA when, in your opinion, they should be behind it?
First of all, according to newspaper reports, I have not met one former head of the Mossad who is against the JCPOA. And really? These people know the Iranian nuclear program. I've not met one.
Really?
I've not met one. Look, in politics, perception is more important than reality. And why is perception more important than reality? Because perception is connected to your emotions, whereas reality is important to connected to your logic. And we all know our emotions are far stronger than our power of logic. And the emotions in Israel are that this is a regime that has called for destruction. This is a regime that has paid Hamas and Islamic Jihad and Hezbollah to kill hundreds, if not thousands, of Israeli citizens. This is the only regime in the world that denies the Holocaust. So when you have that attached to the question of an agreement with the same regime, of course, people are going to be against.
Can you give us a steer, sir, on the relative strength of the Iranian regime? It does seem to be in position despite millions of dissidents. They are a murderous cult at the top. Are they strong? Are they susceptible to revolution? Could there be the restoration of the Pahlavi dynasty?
I wish. Look, I would have taken part in the 1979 revolution. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
Yes.
Explain that.
Because Muhammad Reza Shah, may his memory be of blessing, Now we say this, we didn't, because we don't know what was going to happen. He did a lot of good things in Iran, but he was a dictator. Everybody wants something better for their country. Everybody wants the country to be rich, which Iran was, but also be free. Not to ban books, not to censor the press, not to arrest people for having the wrong idea, not to live in a state where there's only one political party and one man. That was the Shah's mistake. The Shah had such a tight grip on Iran, even in his own military, that if senior members of his own armed forces wanted to go to a party, to the same party at night, they needed his permission. This was his mistake. And people of Iran wanted something better. Nobody has a revolution to make their lives worse. But until now, the regime turned what was a dream of the Iranian people into a nightmare. A nightmare which is far more than what was happening before. If the people of Iran would have known that this regime would do this, they would have never taken part in the revolution. The regime today is cruel. It's unpopular. It's hated. But it's cruel. These are cruel people. Judge a man by his friend. Who are the friends of Ayatollah Khamenei, Bashar al-Assad and Putin? And we know what they've done to their own public. So the cruelty that they're willing to apply against dissidents in Iran makes me believe that, unfortunately, and I hope to God I'm wrong, that this is a regime that's not falling.
Because the street protests have been crushed by murder, and by torture, by rape,
haven't they? They poisoned 1,000 girls with gas around the schools in Iran. How do you explain this? This does not look like a regime that's willing to go away without killing people, without leaving bodies behind.
We know in Israel that if it quacks like a duck, it is a duck. We know about rise and kill first, the unofficial motto of almost every part of Israel's security and defense services.
It's also from our history.
It is.
We waited for other countries to shoot with us, and we saw what happened in the Holocaust and afterwards.
Do you expect Israel to strike first against Iran, who are obviously an existential threat beyond the proxy wars that have been going on now for 2 and even 3 decades?
We are already striking against Iranian presence in Syria. So we're doing that. Is your question, are we going to launch a military strike against Iran?
Are we going to go straight from the proxies and into the mainland of Iran?
Well, according to foreign press, and this is not my opinion, this is what the foreign press have written, there have been numerous Mossad operations inside Iran. There have been numerous. There are many newspaper reports about pertaining to this. Will there be a massive Israeli airstrike against Iran? If the Iranian regime makes a decision to make a nuclear weapon, then I think it's very probable, yes.
And to finish off this interview, sir, can we have some colour, something positive to say about the future of the state of Israel, sir?
I think, look at the demonstrations. It's, in democracy, people don't like to demonstrate because they go vote every 4 years. Why do I need to go and demonstrate? This is the only democratic country in the history of humankind that has had 25, 26 consecutive weeks of demonstrations democratically without a single nose broken or a window smashed. There's been some little violence recently, but compare our demonstrations to what's happening in France. Compare our demonstrations to what happened in England after Brexit. People were furious after Brexit. How many times did people leave their homes and go to demonstrate in the UK against Brexit? Twice? We're doing it every week. Our young people, our quest to live in a Jewish and democratic country, which is a miracle to happen in our generation, gives me much hope, gives me all the hope that I need that we're gonna progress and our democracy is going to survive.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
What a positive end to this interview, sir. Thank you very much for joining me on Johnny Gould's Jewish State.
Thank you, John.
Johnny Gould's Jewish State is brought to you with Dangor Education.